Welcome to Good Hope Through Grace.
Welcome again to Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. I'd like to draw your attention tonight to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8, we'll be focusing in tonight on verse 31. Now, for the past 6 weeks, what we've been doing is selecting a verse of Scripture out of the Gospel of John, just one verse, and then giving it a title and an outline and bringing a message from it. I believe this is the sixth verse out of the Gospel of John that we've looked at. If the Master blesses you with this message, perhaps you'd like to have a copy of it to give to someone, just write to us with the address given by my son at the end of the broadcast, and then we'll send you out a free copy of this broadcast. John chapter 8, verse 31, where we're at this evening, it says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed." Now notice who he is speaking to. He's speaking to the Jews which have believed on him. And what he tells them, that if they continue or abide in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Now, the idea of the word indeed means truly. You are my disciples truly. Sometimes it's translated with the word truth. If you look back in John chapter 7, John chapter 7 and verse 40, you have the same word used in the Greek, but it's different in the English. John 7 and verse 40, "Many of the people, therefore, when they heard the saying, said of a truth." That word truth there is the same word translated indeed in John chapter 8, verse 31. So it's translated truth, disciples in truth, true disciples. So we're going to use that for our entitlement of our message on John 8:31. We're going to title it True Disciples. Disciples indeed, or true disciples. Now, true disciples have two characteristics from this verse. First of all, they believe. Remember, this was spoken to the Jews that believed on him. And then, number two, not only do they believe, but they continue. That's how you know who true disciples are. Not only do they believe, but they continue. So let's go ahead and look at this message this evening from John 8:31. We're going to title it, as I said, True Disciples, or Disciples Indeed. Well, let's notice the first characteristic that we gave you. It says that it was written, or Jesus said these things to the Jews which believed on him. And this is one of the key words in the Gospel of John. I never physically sat down and counted it, but it's over 100 or near 100 times that the word believe or believed or believeth is used in the Gospel of John. It is indeed used over and over again. It's a key word. John chapter 20, it says, one of the purposes of the Gospel of John, verse 31, says, "These things are written that ye might believe." In other words, the purpose for the Gospel of John was it's written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, or Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. You see, when you believe on the name of Jesus, then you have life through his name. See, if you're going to have everlasting life, and that's another key word in the Gospel of John, is everlasting life, it indeed comes by believing through his name. Believing why he came, believing that he came to Calvary to pay our sin debt and rise again the third day. That's what it means to believe, and that's the purpose of the Gospel of John. Now, remember, the word believe means more than believe that there's a God. Now, we're going to look at some other verse where the word believe is used in the Gospel of John, but that's so misunderstood by so many. There's many people in our land that think they're saved, that think they're all right if they die because they believe in a God. Well, my friend, it's more than that. The Pharisees in Jesus' day believed in a God. They believed God created the world in six 24-hour days. They believed in prayer. They believed in attending temple. They believed in the Ten Commandments. But, my friend, they certainly wasn't saved, was they? Jesus said when they went out to make a convert into their religion in the book of Matthew 23, Jesus said when that convert was made, they were made twofold more a child of hell than themselves. Jesus told them that they were lost, and the reason why that they were lost is they never trusted in Christ. In our same text in John chapter 8, if we look right up in the same chapter, he told them this. He said, verse 22, Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whither I go, ye cannot come. He said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. You're of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So they believed in God, and they believed in a lot of doctrines that we hold true, but my friend, they certainly never believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They never trusted him as their Savior, and Jesus told them that unless they trusted in him, that they would indeed die in their sin. And my friend, that same thing is true today. So it's far more than believing that God exists. That's a fact that is true. The creation's evidence of that. The changed lives is evidence of that. The scriptures bear witness of that. But my friend, it's more than believing in a God. You have to believe in Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So, in looking at this message tonight that we've entitled True Disciples, or Disciples Indeed, you can pick either one of the titles, but both of them carry the same idea. True disciples, first of all, they believe. That's one of the characteristics that they have. If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ, then you became a disciple the day that you believed on him as the Messiah. You seen yourself as a sinner, and then you trusted him as the Messiah, trusted that he died for you on Calvary, trusted that he rose again the third day, and you trust the finished work of Calvary as a means of saving you from your sin. That's what it means to believe. And I pray that you have indeed done that. Now, he stresses this over and over again. We'll look at some of the past verses that we have indeed looked at in a radio broadcast in this one-verse series out of John. John 3, of course, has believe all over it. It has John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his Son, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, trusts in him, should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 36, this is one of the verses we used. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Now I could read passage after passage after passage out of the Gospel of John stresses the fact that salvation comes, eternal life comes, forgiveness of sin comes to those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I use the word believe, it simply means they trust in him. They trust in him as their Lord and Savior. Okay? So, let's go ahead and move on to the second characteristic. We'll spend most of our time tonight in the second one, because we've mentioned this first characteristic of a true disciple. We've mentioned this several times in the other verses that we looked at. A true disciple believes. There's a day and a time in their life that they have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They've trusted, they've by faith trusted that Jesus is the Messiah. They've seen themselves a sinner. Now, certainly a person is not going to believe until the Holy Spirit deals with their heart, until they see their need, until the Holy Spirit makes them thirsty, until the Holy Spirit makes them alive, and there is a new birth that takes place. And the Lord's one that does that. He brings about repentance in the heart. So you don't have people truly believing without repentance. Repentance and faith go together. You don't have someone. There is such a thing as easy believism, where people just say they believe in the Lord, then go ahead and continue on in their sin. That's not what I'm speaking of when I'm talking about believing. I'm talking about a genuine trust in Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior that is accompanied with repentance and change of heart. And my friend, that indeed does and indeed changes your life. So disciples believe. Remember, the word disciple means a learner. You can look it up. Sometimes it refers to a pupil. And the day you were saved, you became his pupil. You became a learner. The first most important thing you learned is you learned that he was the Messiah. You learned that he was the Savior. You learned that you was a sinner. You learned why he came and why he died and why he resurrected again. You learned these things. The Lord taught you these things and you trusted him as your Savior. Well, my friend, the learning doesn't stop there. You're to continue to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout your days. Too many people believe, but they don't have no desire to learn. And there's something wrong deep inside with someone that don't have a desire to learn about the Savior that saved them. My friend, we learn some things about Jesus when we was first saved, but as we grow, as we study our Bibles, as we get into the Word of God, as we go to church, and hopefully you go to a church that teaches the Word. Many of the churches anymore is pushing the Word of God out, and I think that's sad that that happens because I think the Holy Spirit works through the book that He authored. The Holy Spirit brings about the new birth through the seed of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit brings about the growth of the saint. Those that are first saved, as they grow, they grow through the means of the Word. As desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. You get filled with the Spirit through the means of the Word. You get assurance through the means of the Word. So, my friend, we need to get the Word forefront in our church services. A pastor in the Scriptures is called a pastor teacher. He's supposed to teach you the Word of God. And as you get it, you'll learn and you'll grow. You're a disciple. You're a disciple. We're talking the messages about the true disciples of Christ. They believe. And the day that they believed, they became a learner. They learned of Him. They seen Him in truth. Their understanding was open. Luke 24 says, in talking about the disciples, He opened their understanding that they may understand the Scriptures, and they believed. But folks, are you a pupil? Are you a disciple? Are you a learner? Are you seeking to learn about Him? Do you have a desire to learn about Him? Man, I want to know more and more. One of the great things about heaven is we will know our knowledge will be perfect then. It'll be awesome then. We'll learn more and more about Him. So I think it's great to be a pupil of Christ. And that's what the word disciple means. And I pray that that's exactly what you are. You're a Bible student. You're a learner. Disciple also implies that you're a follower. You seek to follow Him. You know, when this word was used back in that day and time, what a learner or a pupil would do is they'd attach themselves to a teacher and they would live with them. And you'll see that in the life of the 12. The 12 did indeed that. They were disciples of Jesus. They attached themselves to Him. They followed Him. They lived with Him. They ate with Him to learn from Him. Well, folks, we're disciples. We were attached to Jesus the day we were saved. The day that He and His grace reached down and opened our old dead hearts and drawed us to Himself and we believed on Him. We became disciples that day, learners, but also followers of Jesus Christ. And we seek to serve Him the rest of our days. Serve Him why? Serve Him because we love Him. Man, I'm not serving to get saved. What Jesus did on Calvary saved me from my sin. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My friend, my hope isn't in what all the good things that I've done, am doing, or going to do. My hope is built on Jesus. What He did, His righteousness. My friend, it takes 100% righteousness to go to heaven. And the only place you can get that is have it charged to your account by trusting in Jesus. Jesus was the only one that was ever 100% righteous. And He imputes that to you the day you're saved. So the true disciples, first of all, they believe. Now the second part of this text, John chapter 8 and verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. So disciples indeed also continue. They abide. They abide in the Lord. They remain in the Lord. It's translated different ways, but all means the same thing. They abide. They continue. They don't walk away from Him. Now, my friend, that is an evidence of a true new birth. That's an evidence of a true disciple. Not only do they believe, but they also continue with the Lord. Now, folks, it's sad at the great number of people that makes professions of faith in Jesus Christ. They'll start good, and they'll begin well. They'll come to church service or two, and then they'll walk away from it and go right back out to the world. That happens anywhere you go, everywhere you're at. You see that happen. Now, here it says, disciples indeed, true disciples, continue. They don't walk for a while. They walk continually with the Lord. It's not saying that they might not fall or falter a time or two in their lives. It does not say that they always are perfect, but it does say that they will continue. Continuing sometimes involves getting back up when you fall. And that's so important. The Lord will help you get back up when you fall. Well, let me give you some reasons why it says that disciples indeed are proved here by continuing. Perseverance is another word for this. We talk about the perseverance of the saints. That is that they continue. They persevere. They abide. They don't walk away from the Lord, my friend. They don't walk away from Him. And here's some reasons why they don't. Number one, because they're kept. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, in talking about our salvation, says that we are kept by the power of God. It says in verse 5, let me get in 4 and 5. We preached on this in the past in the radio broadcast. It says, blessed be God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled, that fades not away. It's reserved in heaven for you. Now listen what else it says. Who are kept by the power of God. We are kept by the power of God. In the book of Jude, it refers to God's people as being the preserved in Christ Jesus. Jude verse 1 says, and preserved in Christ Jesus. Word preserves is the same word. It's the word keep. So He keeps you. The day that He saved your soul, He placed in you the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says that after ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit takes up the possession of you. He lives in you. The Spirit of God lives in you, in your body. And He begins to work in there. He begins to work sin out and begins to work righteousness in. We call that progressive sanctification. He begins a process that causes you to grow as a Christian. This process is done through the means of the Scriptures. As you receive the Scriptures, which reveals the glory of God, then the Holy Spirit then transforms you into that image. And you need to take the Scriptures in every day. You need to have your mind renewed by the Scriptures every day. So, the Holy Spirit took up abode in your heart the day you were saved. He keeps you. He keeps you. The Bible says that the Lord never leaves nor forsakes us, Hebrews 13:5. That's a tremendous promise, is it not? He took up abode in you the day you were saved, and He never leaves you. Never leaves you, nor never forsakes you. And my friend, that's a reason why you continue. If it wasn't for Him in you, and if it wasn't for Him keeping you, then if it was all up to you to keep yourself in your own power and strength, then my friend, you would not abide. You continue because He keeps you. You're kept by His power. That's shown in John 10:28. It says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me. And then He says, I give them eternal life. He gave you eternal life the day that you believed. I give them to them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now, the word man's in italics there. It's been supplied to make the verse sound better. But my friend, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. That's Satan, hell, and all of his angels, because you're in the hand of God. You're in the hand of the Son, and you're in the hand of the Father. And Jesus goes on to say, I and my Father are one. The point is, you're kept. That's why you continue. That's why one of the evidences of being truly born again is that you continue. You last. You persevere. 1 John 5 says, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. That means gains the victory. You gain the victory over the world today. You trust Christ. And then you will continue. You will last. So one reason why you continue is because you're kept. You're kept by Him. His presence is in you. The Spirit of God lives in you. You get out of line, my friend, He'll correct you. He chastens every child that He receives. In the book of Hebrews chapter 12, it says that He chastens every son. He chastens every one of His children. He corrects them. Now, that's just not a whipping. That's other things that He does. But my friend, He also gives you chastening in the sense of correction. He will correct you. Sometimes you'll go to church and you'll hear a message from the Scriptures. You'll hear a message from the pulpit. You'll hear a Sunday school lesson, and it'll whip you. It'll correct you. It'll show you things that you're doing wrong, and the Holy Spirit will use it to break your heart. And He said, hey, you need to stop doing this thing. And you begin to be sorrowful over it, and you confess it and get it out of the way. Well, folks, that's chastening. He will chasten you through the Word, but He chastens you as part of keeping you. He just doesn't let you go. Heavenly Father will come and correct His children. He loves you. He corrects you because He loves you. And my friend, there's nothing like the chastening rod of God. But the good thing about that is, it's a sign that you belong to Him. He just doesn't let you go. A child of God can't be happy in sin if they're truly saved. If someone's truly saved, sin makes a Christian miserable because of the new nature that they have and because of the convicting power of the Spirit, because of the chastening rod of God. So those reasons are reasons why that they continue. They abide. They last. True disciples is the entitlement of this message tonight. Disciples indeed, characterized by two characteristics in John 8:31. First characteristic is they believe. The second characteristic is they continue. And I gave you the reasons why that they continue is because they're kept, they're chastened, they have the Holy Spirit in them. He never leaves nor forsakes. And I go on and on the rest of the broadcast with that, but I believe that's enough to prove my point. Now, what's the reasons why people don't continue? What's the reasons why people don't continue? You can look at several examples of men in Scriptures who did not continue, who made a profession, who physically walked with the Lord, and then they walked away. Why do they not continue? Well, the reason why they don't continue is because they're not disciples indeed. Remember, disciples indeed, truly, they will continue. One of the ways that you see that someone is genuinely saved is that they continue, they last. Now, the book of 1 John, we'll begin, we're going to look at several verses. We don't have a lot of time left to give you all of them I'd like to give you. But in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, it describes people that walk away from the Lord. And it says in verse 19, they went out from us. This is talking about false teachers. They went out from us. At one time they were a part of them. They were in their congregation, perhaps. But they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they would have been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. You see, the going out, the walking away, is an evidence that they were never a part, truly, of the disciples. They went out from us because they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. Let me finish the verse. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. So, one reason why people don't continue, I'm looking at actually what I'm doing, just showing you examples. They didn't continue here in 1 John 2:19 to make manifest that they were never truly of us. Many times people walk away, and they walk away because it's never truly saved, never had a true heart change, never were disciples indeed, as John 8:31 says. Continuing is an evidence of a genuine changed heart and a genuine salvation. In the Scriptures, we know about Judas. We're not going to turn to the text. But in the Gospel of John chapter 6, Judas was attached to the original 12. Jesus had actually called him to be a part of the 12. And he walked with Jesus for 3.5 years. He heard him preach. He heard him teach. He seen his miracles. He went out 2 by 2 with the other disciples and all of these things. Yet in John chapter 6, Jesus said, "If I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil." When you look in the Gospel of John chapter 10, he is referred to, I believe it's John 10, but I know it's in the Gospel of John. But Judas is referred to as being a thief. He not only is he called the devil, but he's also referred to as being a thief. And then finally, when the time came, he separated himself from the disciples. He failed to continue with them, and he walked right over because of covetousness and joined with the enemies against the Lord. Why was that, my friend? He was not truly saved. Judas was not truly saved, the same as the people in 1 John 2:19 were not truly saved. And by walking away and not continuing, they showed what they are. In the book of Hebrews chapter 10, we're told about some of the Hebrews and what they made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, and they lasted for a while, and then they went back to the Old Testament sacrifice system as being a means of saving them. My friend, you can't find salvation in any other sacrifice than Jesus. Jesus is the only sacrifice that can wash your sins away. So they were going back to a system that pictured Jesus, but they were going back under the type instead of sticking with the real thing. Now, why did they do that? Listen to this text, verse 38. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any draw back," that's draw back under the old covenant, "my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back into perdition, but of them which believe to the saving of the soul." What of those who draw back? They never believed to the saving of the soul. They professed with the lips, but their heart remained unchanged. And they continued for a while, but then, my friend, eventually they walked away. Why did they walk away? Why did they not continue? Judas wasn't saved. These people in Hebrews 10 never believed in the saving of the soul. The people in 1 John 2 were not of us. And there's many other examples I could give you where people walked away and the context makes clear that they weren't truly saved. What's the title of another message tonight? Disciples Indeed or True Disciples. What's their characteristics? They believe and they continue. My friend, are you a true disciple? Has there been a day and a time in which you've received Jesus as your Savior? Have you continued to serve the Lord? Are you walking with Him? Are you serving Him with your life? Those are characteristics of those that are disciples indeed. May God add His blessings.
That will conclude this week's Good Hope Through Grace. We want to ask you to join us again next week at 7:30 on Monday evening, or you can join us anytime on the web at www.ghtg.org. Good Hope Through Grace is sponsored by the Elizabeth Baptist Church, P.O. Box 75, Bancroft, West Virginia, 25011.